Lorenzo Amoruso, defender, / long-haired stallion. Played centre-back for Bari, Fiorentina, Blackburn and Rangers. 338 career games, a pretty impressive 29 goals from defence. Won the Italian Cup, the Italian Super Cup and 2 trebles with Rangers. Wearer of truly exceptional hair and, of course, author. But let's see what the book club thought in today's The Football Book Club.
He has the vibe of a guy telling you a story in a pub and you're trying to slowly back away.
There is a rather graphic photo of his genitals.
Hunting animals is not a bad thing, and let me explain why. I had so much free time.
There's a very profound bit where he says, kids now have too many PlayStations.
Woo!
Woo!
Wow, what an enthusiastic start. Hello and welcome to the Football Book Club, the only book club where instead of literary classics, each week we read yet another obscure footballer's autobiography. Less Steinbeck, more John Fleck. I'm James Bug, and we'll be using this time behind closed doors to read classics such as...
That truly surprised me, that one.
I'm James Bug, and we'll be using this time behind closed doors to read classics such as Mickey Adams's My Life in Football and Ryan Nelson's Road to the 2010 World Cup. But for today, we're going to be reading Lorenzo Amoruso's exceptionally titled LA Confidential. And reading it with me, I'm joined remotely by our book group of comedy writers, Jet Bernhardt.
Hello.
And introducing Tom Coles.
Hello.
Tom Coles.
Tom, who are you?
What are you doing here?
I'm Tom Coles, a comedy writer, written on stuff such as Dead Ringers, The News Quiz, Have I Got News For You? And I am not a very smart man. Because it took me, no, you're going to agree with me very soon. It took me such a long time to work out what the title was about. I got to the end of the book just assuming he was going to be going to LA at some point. But LA is his initials. So there you are.
This show's getting more and more highbrow. More and more highbrow every week.
It's very clever. Very clever as a title.
I mean, really threw me.
The title is amazing, and you have to wonder how many people have bought this book online expecting to get the film.
or to get the script, the official
script. Yeah, to get the script and be like, I do not remember the bit in this script where Russell Crowe played for Rangers and Bari. Yeah. Really weird.
No Tash, no James this week. Dropping Tash, like flies.
No, dropping like flies.
Soon it's going to be called the Football Book Boy. No club, just me talking to myself.
The Football Book Boy. I think I fully believe that you will continue doing this podcast after the end of the world.
After the end of the world?
Yeah, just on your own. And once you've run out of football players, you'll start making them up yourself.
Yeah. Just be shouting it through random letterboxes, I mean.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've been doing that on lockdown anyway. I live in a block of flats. That's how.
Nabato Solano, Newcastle United winger. Please go away.
Well, Tom, it's great to have you on the show. You're our new friend. And talking of friends, let's head over to our best friends at Amazon to see what the reviews are saying. The book has 3 stars on Amazon from 8 reviews.
Ooh, that's very low.
Really splits up, it is low actually, it splits opinion massively, with the reviews ranging from Mr. Antonio Calvadoro's 1-star review, hilarious rubbish.
that shouldn't be a 1-star review.
Do you think that's Marco Negri's fake screen name?
Yeah, it could well be. It could well be. And Mary Graham's 5-star review, the book is a very easy to read book.
That's his mum.
Okay, we're going to go into more depth about the book as we go. We'll be doing a dramatic reading, a quiz at the end, getting another chant from Ken Zong and filling Glenn Rhodes' place in the Hall of Shame. But ooh, first, let's go around the group in a sentence or two. What do you think of the book? Tom, you're new to the show. What did you think of LA Confidential?
I was... The book. I sort of vacillated between being absolutely gripped and horrified by his behaviour. I am also obsessed with the pictures in the book, which I think we're going to go into later on.
Oh, incredible pictures. This book is worth it for the pictures alone.
Genuinely.
There is a rather graphic photo of his genitals. First picture in the book. I mean, sure.
As a child, yeah. We should clarify he is a child at the point. He hasn't just used this book to release a dick pic.
And also, remember that these pictures come usually midway through the book. So you have to get through a lot of the book before getting to the joke of a dick pic.
The penis reward. Yeah.
What about the words? About the words of the book?
No. it felt like it had. You know, when you were at school and you used to come back from holidays and you'd have to write like a bit about your holiday. It'd be, I went to the beach. I dug a hole. It was a big hole. We made a sandcastle. It felt like that for large portions of it. I got to the end of the book. And the final page is two pictures of the ghostwriters, professional journalists.
Yes, from the Daily Record in Scotland.
So for me, those are my villain of the week.
So it's not Lorenzo. He probably wrote an absolute masterpiece in Italian, and then these guys got hold of it and butchered it.
Yeah, I think so. David McCarthy and Keith Jackson should hang their heads in shame.
Straight away. Are they going in the Hall of Shame? Possibly.
I mean, they're my
there
pick.
Are a lot of spelling. There are a lot of spelling mistakes.
There are
in the
a lot of spelling mistakes,
which I was surprised at. That's the kind of stuff they should have got right.
There's a bit where he says, he's talking about the women that he loves, and he says, "I suppose I'm looking for the prefect girl."
Yes,
which is
he's looking after it. Yeah, that opens up all kinds. There was one I liked at the beginning of page 29 when he's talking about growing up. He says, "As most babies were in Italy at that time, I was born in my mum and dad's house." So I like the idea that all babies were born in Lorenzo's parents' house. Busy guys.
Yeah, come on, send another one in.
Jack, what do you think of the book?
I mean, it's a very confusing book. It sort of jumps about the place constantly. Like, it starts with, I know we're going to go into this later, but like the timing seems very like, here we are with me with Dick Advocaat, now back to the past, now back to the present. And there's a point where he says, he actually says, okay, I know I've talked about this before with my girlfriend breaking up, but if you were paying attention, that was in April of last year, not this year, which just shows he's kind of aware of how confusing this whole book is. And
Memento. Yeah.
It's like so often he'll suddenly be like, oh yeah, Harry Redknapp didn't want me at West Ham. And then like 80 pages later, he will talk about, I had an offer through from West Ham. Did Harry Redknapp want me? And I'm like, I just heard about this 80 page. I feel like I vaguely remember this. What is happening?
I know what you mean, but I also kind of applaud him for at least trying a bit of a different structure with it. There are some bits that really worked, I thought, quite well with that.
There are some
other bits that were kind of retreading it over and over again.
He likes to repeat himself as well quite a bit. He has it's the not... vibe of a guy telling you a story in a pub and you're trying to slowly back away. And he'll be like, no, hear me out. Here's what I think of Dick Advocaat, and you're like, yeah, okay, yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
I get that with the Dick Advocaat, but most of his stories, I would happily have read pages and pages because some of them are incredible. It's no masterpiece, the book, in my opinion, but it's entertaining. It's got a lot of personality, and it contains a picture of him dressed as Braveheart. So to me, everything is perfect. Let's go into the book. We've already kind of mentioned the fascinating title. The actual cover itself, we'll tweet a picture of this, but my word.
Oh my God.
What a stallion. What a stallion.
He looks like he's applying to be in Gladiators.
He really does. He does look like a gladiator. He looked like Wolf's cousin or something.
Yeah, Wolf's cousin.
Yeah.
Fox boy. Something like that.
Does someone want to give us a brief description of the cover just to paint a picture in the audience's mind?
He's wearing a... can I have some sensual music under this?
Sexy music. We haven't played that in a while.
Yeah. He's got a black sort of vest. He's got these big hairy arms crossed. But he's got his arm...
Very hairy.
He's got brown eyes staring deep into your own. There's his long, flowing brown hair, cute little sideburns as well. And then he's just got a finger up as if to be warning you.
Finger up what? Oh.
Like he's saying one, or it might be that he's pointing to the title.
I think, Jack, you're missing two key features there. One is the length of his fingernails, which I find unsettling.
My girlfriend said exactly the same thing. That was the first thing she said. She said, at least he could have cut his fingernails beforehand.
And two, the most central part of this whole thing is the vest he's wearing is ribbed.
for our pleasure.
I did not. Yeah. I can only see that now in certain lights. Oh my god.
It's a touch and it's a scratch and sniff. So I can feel it and smell
my
it.
My book is actually Lorenzo Amoruso.
It's the best cover yet.
It's clearly the best cover we've done. Yeah.
Also, the size of the book took me by surprise. It looks like a school textbook. It's massive. It's not like it's a really big book.
It's really useful for writing notes in, I will say.
Yeah, he even leaves 5 pages at the end where you can just write whatever you want, make your own Lorenzo story. Let's read the description. On the back, it says, Lorenzo Amoruso is one of the most colourful and controversial characters ever to have played in Scotland. This is his story in his own words. The Rangers defender became the first Catholic player to captain the Ibrox club, which is very interesting. He was then publicly stripped of the honour and forced to fight back from a humiliation that would have crushed a lesser man. For the first time, Amoruso lays bare his soul on the highs and lows of his public and private life. This is more than a football book. It's a chronicle of a man's indomitable spirit. Whoa!
Oh, wow.
Now we pumped?
Yeah. Can't wait to hear 245 pages about how he doesn't like Dick Advocaat. Great.
There are some exceptional chapter names in this book, by the way.
Yeah.
Beating the Bigots, Drugs, Birds and Me, mm-hmm. and Ammo a Racist? Never.
is that a pun on Am I a Racist?
I don't think
it's only,
I never
it's
thought
only
about
saying
that.
It out loud.
Jack, I haven't spotted the word playing the title, so I wouldn't have got that.
Okay, yeah.
You're asking the wrong guy.
This whole book's been lost on top. he does do a pun at the end which says, smiles better.
Smiles better, yeah, I quite like that one.
Yeah, cute.
Yeah.
Butchered and Bevied, another one.
Yep. Getting plastered with Gaza.
That's true.
Oh, and also,
as every book I think has to have a story, a chapter where they go get smashed with Gaza. Every single book that we read has that. And also, every single book has Peter Reed, and he popped up again in this book.
It's true, he did pop up in this book.
I was so happy.
I really like the fact that, the last chapter title is the best one for me because it says, The End?
That's
the end with a question mark.
Yeah.
Like, it's sort of going like, oh my god, I can't wait for LA Confidential 2. I'm so excited.
It's also very clearly not the end because he's still playing football by the end of it.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's expecting.
This is another one of those books. It's not quite as bad as Kevin Phillips last week. It's another one of those books where you're like, just write it 5 years later.
Mm. Yeah, I think it sounds like he needed to settle some scores at this point.
Yeah. and thought no one would care in 5 years' time.
Well, maybe that's it. And I think it came at a time where he'd just been stripped of the captaincy at Rangers. So it was a big thing. But it kind of sets up. I mean, the first line gets us into this story.
Yeah.
And it's a great first line. Let me just.
Is it a cracking first line? I will agree.
I remember the date as if it were yesterday. Monday, October 30th, 2000. The day Dick Advocaat tried to rip my heart out.
Oof.
I think this could be the earliest we ever put someone in the Hall of Shame in the first sentence.
Yeah.
Dick Advocaat is going straight in.
It is impressive.
On the front page, the names of David McCarthy and Keith Jackson are there, so that's even before this.
No, that's true, yeah.
So
we're one page into the book and we've got three inductees into the Hall of Fame. But what do we think of the start?
It is a really good start. It's a really like, wow, okay, cool, we're straight in.
With Dick Advocaat ripping his heart out and also taking the captaincy away from him. Quite publicly.
I think those two things are the same. I don't think he actually tried to rip his heart out.
No. I read that separately.
Okay.
Sorry. I think you're incorrect there.
You think Dick Advocaat was just like, oh, Lorenzo, I need a... I don't know what that accent was. I'm so sorry.
I wasn't sure whether you were going for like some kind of voodoo priest or you were doing...
I was trying to go Dutch. Steve McLaren Dutch, but I midway through panicked because I had to say Lorenzo, which isn't a very Dutch word. Anyway, I can't imagine Dick Advocaat actually trying to rip someone's heart out. I mean, do you guys remember this? I don't remember this at all. I didn't really follow Scottish football.
No, same. But one thing it did remind me of is just how good the quality of Scottish football was at the time, or at least some of the players they had in the Rangers team. I mean, they had, who's mentioned? Like Van Bronckhorst. Torre André Flo, Ali McCoys, Richard Goff, Barry Ferguson, Brian Laudrup, I mean, great player. Michael Moles, who was really, really good for a little bit of time. I remember when Michael Moles came along, and he was excellent until he got injured.
Which they talk about.
I don't remember like the intricacies of who was captain. I remember Barry Ferguson being captain. That's probably the first captain I remember at Rangers.
Doesn't he call him something quite disparaging, like boy
captain? He says, at Celtic, they don't have many boy captains, which does sound like a... Like a thing you would call Buster from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
Ah, the boy captain is here.
That's and it's the reason why he's written the book as well.
Yeah,
to try
no,
and address this problem.
Absolutely. But this chapter is too long for that.
Sure, like, it is. But I like it. I like the way it does that. And then it goes like, hey, now let me introduce you to my family.
Well,
I like
yeah,
I find it fun.
I sort of find it fun, but then it's also like it takes like 6 or 7 pages of him being like, did you hear? Dick Advocaat. He stole the captaincy from me. I was captain. And then I wasn't captain because of Dick Advocaat. I had to tell people. I went up to them and I said, Dick Advocaat, he's made me captain. I'm no longer captain anymore.
Yeah,
my dad was really upset.
To get over
the
it.
Kit man was really upset. You're like, oh my God, we get it. You're not captain anymore. And it's bad. It's sort of it there's a sort of level of like, okay, you need to tell us why this is a big deal, not just say it over and over again.
There was a bit I enjoyed where he mentioned that he was the first Catholic captain to ever play for Rangers, which felt like kind of interesting, groundbreaking thing. But then he swiftly moves off that and goes back onto some more Dick Advocaat back.
He does. And then he devotes another chapter to that later as well, which is
cool.
Which, so it's really interesting. He's also he makes some broad generalizations about nationalities at times. This is when he first gets into that. A lot of Dutch players in the changing room under Advocaat. Why didn't the Dutch say anything? Because they are Dutch. I don't know if that's a stereotype. I've never heard that before. The Dutch people don't talk.
Then is the stereotype? They're quiet?
I guess so.
I think they
all love Dick Advocaat.
Yeah, they must love it, Dick Advocaat. That's the three things I know about the Dutch is they love tulips, clogs, and Dick Advocaat.
Also, other things that we should know about nationalities. South Americans aren't good at texting you back. Gabriel Batistuta is a bad friend because you make all the effort and he doesn't do anything back. And
that's
apparently
true.
A guy called Gabby Amato is the same. Yeah. And the Germans are world champions at diving.
Which I didn't really necessarily. He was like, Spain and Italians are really good at diving. The
Klinsmann.
Germans, world. Oh,
Klinsmann,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Klinsmann.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. But throughout the whole chapter, he's in Italy. He's moving around quite a lot. He's at Bari, playing under Marco Materazzi's dad. Mm-hmm. Makes a big move to Fiorentina from there, and he becomes best friends with a 60-year-old priest for a bit.
That's
in the
so
book.
Weird.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Yeah,
it is
that bit.
His two main friends in this book are 60-year-old priest whose sort of job it is to talk to him, and also his agent who's paid to talk to him.
Oh no.
and also a guy who just like organizes shooting trips for him.
Oh yeah, that's true.
It feels like a badly written sitcom where they're just like, okay, he needs some extra characters, let's throw him a guy who likes shooting.
Old priest.
And old priest. You can, oh, priest.
It's very. Why not? It's very Fleabag like.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's true. The sex scene with the priest though is fantastic. I will say, so hot.
That's a real page turner.
I thought also another friend he has, Tom. I know you liked this bit. He makes friends with a ghost very briefly, just 40 pages in.
Just fascinating. Did not see that coming either. Now, it was a little while ago I read the book, but so he was swimming as a child and he got sort of caught under the water by a wave or something. He may have even hit his head, washed up on the beach, opened his eyes to just a woman who stood over him. I don't think she said anything, and then just sort of drifted off.
Yeah.
Which
who it could have been Mary.
Could have been
the Coast Guard.
Yeah,
his friends come over and he's like, did you see that woman? And they're like, no, there's been no woman here. And I really wanted one of them to say,
there's
like,
never been a woman here.
Yeah, that women have been dead for 55 years. it's such a weird bit. And he's like, was it a religious vision? Was it? Yeah. Was it just person? I don't know.
And he just did not give a stuff about Browning Charles.
Yeah, he just kind of dropped that afterwards. But he parallels it with his friend who drowned.
Yeah,
and he talks about that quite a lot.
There's quite a lot of survivor's guilt in this book, actually. Weirdly.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
There's quite a lot of bits where he seems to feel like he sees other, like, so his friend who genuinely does die as a diver, which is really sad. And also, there's another bit in the Bari. He didn't play for Bari Island.
Lorenzo.
His friend who's playing for Bari is told that, you know, he's going to Fiorentina, but it's revealed, like, it's leaked to the press. They're both going to Fiorentina, rather. It's leaked in the press, but only one of them is leaked in the press to be going to Fiorentina, so all the fans hate that player, and he's sort of like, oh, that could have been me, oh gosh, and he sort of feels a weird amount of guilt for that as well. It's kind of,
well, he also feels guilt, he's also delighted it's not him. He goes, oh yeah, oh, thank god that's not me. Thank god it's my mate getting slagged off and not me.
It is very funny. He's like, yeah, well, what are you gonna do?
Fiorentina's where he meets awful Gabby Baptista, who will not text him back. Uh-huh. Which made me sad. I love Gabriel Baptista.
I
feel like one of my favourite players of the 90s. He didn't text you back either, Tom?
No, he always texts me back.
Oh, he was? Okay, interesting. Yeah. So, again, this is kind of lending to that theory that his only friends are people who he pays. but then he goes on to Rangers, which is where he becomes a true hero. He admits it's for the money, the move, which is interesting. A lot of people hold that against players. Remember Benoit Sulacoto? People held that against him at Spurs, even though some people liked it. He was a frank and he was honest about it. Some people didn't. But it works out for him really well. And he develops like a massive fondness for the club. Yeah, I mean, although he gets injured all the time.
Yeah, he's injured to start with, like immediately injured. And he blames a doctor in London. Where they were apparently trying like experimental surgery on him, but he only admitted later on.
Yeah, like three after he tried three surgeries that didn't work.
Really funny, because it's like Lorenzo's like, it's just a simple surgery, and this doctor seems to be like, yes, we will try this new experimental surgery.
We've replaced your with your wrist.
It will give you more control. Yeah. You'll be able to pick up the ball with your foot.
But and also, it's not just injuries in the way. He's also gets, as he calls it, an addiction, which to something I've never heard anyone ever getting addicted to.
This is simultaneously the most tragic and funniest thing I've ever heard.
This is absolutely.
He gets addicted to Baileys. Baileys, like Irish cream.
It is 100% like Alan Partridge, this bit. And it's also like, it is so tragic. Because he's talking about like he's injured and he has nothing else to do but drink. But
cook for Gennaro Gattuso. Yeah. He'll cook pasta for Gennaro Gattuso and then they'll come home and see him as a big slob just drinking Baileys the whole time. It is sad. Don't get me wrong.
It is sad. I think the way he uses the term addiction, though, in the book is quite loose. I think he's very aware that it's not a full-scale addiction. And I think
he knows it's funny as well.
Yeah. He does know.
Yeah, he knows it's funny. He kind of uses it. They use it to sell the book in one place I saw.
It's so funny.
I mean, yeah, of all the things to get addicted to.
The mental image of Lorenzo Amoruso sitting on a couch, drinking Baileys and watching Loose Women is... I would like that photo to be in this book.
It is.
It is. Oh yeah,
that's halfway through. Yeah,
weird.
It's a shame he didn't get addicted to Advocat, which. Thank you very much.
The irony.
Talking of drink, there's something I wanted to pick up on. This is a bit of a sad thing, but it's something which I have a bit of a problem with in books. A lot of footballers, as you mentioned, talk about Gazza and their crazy stories with him. But then they also talk about how it's sad. But then they're quite happy to like share all these stories and kind of fetishize it. I don't like it particularly.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Gazza, footballing great, very troubled man. And it's very, I don't like reading these things about him because, you know, some of the stories are funny. But at the same time, you can't this guy needs help. And also go, but we had a great time where this happened in this bar. I
do agree, but I think it's quite... So first of all, this book is written in 2002, when I don't think the full scale
of
Gazza's like deterioration was taken into account. I still think he was seen as like a party boy as opposed to... you know, a serious problem.
I do realize that we just spoke for 2 minutes laughing about how he gets addicted to Baileys.
So,
Watch the show. But there are some profound bits. Here's a quote I liked. Our opinions don't count. It was like throwing a glass of water into the sea. Very deep.
That is very deep.
Very deep.
Like the sea. There's also a bit where he says, I mean, you could fill a book with like, and he has, with his inane, not inane, it's like trite truism things like that.
Yes.
There's another one, which is, when your heart is aching, it doesn't matter if you are a prince or a pauper.
Oh, that's great.
Beautiful. This now is a great this line.
Is, Gemma Maya Yoshida had a few of these, and we were like, we thought of him as like a great auteur. I think Amoruso's almost trumped him with this.
Oof, I don't know about that. I will never.
It's
be
a different
able to
wisdom,
over.
But I like it.
There's a very profound bit where he says, "Kids now have too many PlayStations, multiple PlayStations."
Can I have another PlayStation, Mother? Back in my day, we only had the one PlayStation.
it's sort of like a sentence that's like written by a child, but from the opinion of a very old man.
A Benjamin Button sentence.
In fact, actually,
how many
Jack,
PlayStations
like
do you kids need?
But you were saying it's like backing away from a man in a pub. That feels very on brand with that. Kids now have too many PlayStations. Okay, Lorenzo.
In terms of quotes we like, has anyone got a no context Lorenzo Amoruso this week?
I've got one. Some people would say I haven't stopped kicking since, but what do they know?
My favourite line in the book was, after no more than 20 minutes, Fabio Cannavaro had been sent off. He simply could not live with Rod Wallace.
I enjoyed that.
I love that bit so
much.
No
disrespect to Rod Wallace.
Yeah, but I did not expect to read that sentence in this book.
So, as we mentioned, he becomes, while he's at Rangers, Advocat chooses him to become the first ever Catholic captain of Rangers. At first, Advocat kind of gives him something. And, you know, it is fascinating because of Celtic obviously being the Catholic club. And he gets a lot of hate mail and a lot of death threats and things from it. The Rangers fans, it seems like they back him the whole way through, which is nice. But my favorite thing about this chapter was it's called Beating the Bigots. And then the chapter just ends with him justifying the fact he likes to shoot deer.
I really like this bit as well.
I don't get how that fits into the Bigots chapter. Oh, because, it's all about because, like...
Because deers are bigots. Duh. Yeah,
that's true. Deers are Catholic. I can't say that because, as we all know, I'm applying for my Irish citizenship.
Oh, of course.
To play for Jack Charlton's Irish team. So I can't mention that.
I love the way... So a genuine chapter was very good because it did talked about... There's a really interesting bit where he talks about like how he wants the Rangers fans to stop making, you know, jokes about the Pope and stop doing chants that are anti-Catholic. But he just accepts. He's like, well, you know, I can't change them, and the only real way that it can make change actually as a person is to, you know, try and cross the divide. There is a bit right at the end, in fact, when he's trying to get away from the subject, he says about sectarianism, "It is completely stupid, and there is nothing I would like more than for the hatred to stop." Which is just very like, come on now, why? Boys,
like
please.
Okay,
you've had your fun with the sectarianism, but it should stop now.
I think that's what stopped it. I think now it's over, thanks to that chapter. Pretty sure they stopped it. Yeah,
so sit down with a glass of Baileys and just talk this through. Yeah.
I love the way they're moving on from religion. When he's talking about animals, he basically says, hunting animals is not a bad thing, and let me explain why. I had so much free time. His reason for murdering animals.
So guys, if you
had too much time in his hands.
You're in self-isolation at the moment. Why not kill a squirrel?
The pictures. Let's bring it back this week. Let's bring back the picture section. We all got it ready?
Yep.
We have. Yep.
It starts with the image everyone wants to see. As the subtitle says, Lorenzo, aged 6 months, showing his tackle. It's him in the bath, naked. He claims things have developed significantly since then. I love that sly dig. He claims.
Also, like, who is the narrator here? Why is that not Lorenzo narrating?
I think that's David McCarthy and Keith Jackson. Yeah, like... They should have been spending more time spell checking and delivering singers.
That, yeah, they spent that line. They spent like 6 months on that single line, and the rest of it, they were like, "I don't care. As long as the line about his penis is in there, we're good."
Two of my pages were stuck together, which I don't at all, because there are a lot of sexy pictures of Lorenzo Amoruso in this book. My favorite picture is on the next page. It's him dressed up as Zorro, saying, "Eat your heart out, Catherine Zeta," which I love for two reasons. She's called Catherine Zeta-Jones, first of all. Yeah. Why haven't they got that in there? And two, Catherine Zeta-Jones doesn't play Zorro. So why would she be eating her heart out? It should be Antonio Banderas.
He would be eating out the heart of the person who loves Zorro in the movie. It's still weird. It's still weird saying that Catherine Zeta-Jones wants to make out with this boy. Yeah. There are so many great photos. The picture of him making pasta, and the subtitle is Pasta My Best, which again is another slam on Lorenzo.
Yeah, true.
What is happening? It's like midway through the book, he suddenly goes like, okay, I'll become very self-deprecating in the picture section alone. I have a tiny penis and I'm past my best.
There's a bit where he's wearing clothes, like fashionable clothes, and he goes, well, at least the clothes look good.
I mean, it's so weird.
However, the greatest picture of all time is him topless dressed as Braveheart. Nothing absolutely gets better brilliant than that.
He's got a pair of boots, though, that look like they're from Clarks. It doesn't fit.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that. Oh, my God, they really do.
That was the picture section. So we mentioned Dick Advocaat, who is his... he's an odd little man, as described by Lorenzo Amoruso. He also likes making these weird rules, like making players wait for him to say, enjoy your meal before they eat.
Like which some I might kind do on the weird podcast. Waiter, yeah.
I might do that every podcast recording. Yep. Before we all talk, I have to say, enjoy your meal.
Enjoy your meal.
Talking of these little things, here's this week's dramatic reading. Can somebody cue the dramatic music?
Cue dramatic music.
Very nicely cued. Okay, this story is called Dick Advocaat Disrespects Lorenzo Amoroso's Big Thighs. Advocaat simply never let up with his rules. Even when we were going well, he could not bring himself to loosen the noose which was strangling the spirit of the team. I'll give you another example. It came in his third season. We had won the championship the previous 2 years, but for some reason, Advocaat felt the shorts we've been wearing were too long. But I'm happy we won the league. However, you looked bad in those shorts.
Just as you were lifting that title, I thought, those shorts, they're wrong. All wrong.
They've got to go. They've got to go. In his opinion, the baggy look did not make us appear athletic enough. I don't know.
That's such an odd bit. Sorry. Yeah. It's like the idea would be like, you guys don't appear athletic. I know you're footballers, but... It just doesn't look right.
From the outside, people might not know. Anyway, he contacted Nike and ordered them to send us tighter-fitting, shorter shorts. Now, that was okay for some of the guys, but others like Jorg and me, who have big thighs, it was just ridiculous. And we've seen the thighs in some of those pictures. They are big thighs.
Do you think he has a big thigh group? That's just like him, Jorg, maybe Peter Lovenkranz.
Big thigh boys.
Big thigh boys. Dick, you want us to have shorter shorts? What about the big thigh boys?
The shorts clung to us and restricted our movement. They were also far too short. I cannot emphasize enough how short these shorts are. When Tori Andre Flo joined, I felt sorry for him because his legs were so long that shorts looked preposterous on him.
Again, that is such the idea of like Tori Andre Flo signing and then like Lorenzo Amoruso being like, okay, but have you seen the shorts?
Yeah.
Just
case
so
in
you
point,
know.
Exhibit A. Tori Andre Flo's long legs. Eventually, enough was enough. I went to see the manager and told him, look, we can't play in these shorts. They are no good to us. Initially, Advocaat refused to do anything about it, but we kept chipping away at him and Jimmy Bell, the kit man. I don't know if Jimmy spoke to Advocaat about it, but eventually a consignment of longer, more comfortable shorts arrived at Ibrox. Phew.
It's really funny how it's like the shorts just appear out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, it's not anyone.
He doesn't apologize, just. Yeah.
They just sort of appear one day. Suddenly, some shorter shorts.
Advocaat didn't say anything about it, but he let us wear them. It should never have been an issue, though, but with Advocaat, there is no talking. Not unless you're telling him how much you agree with his decisions. Wow.
Although, to me, it sounds like he ordered these short shorts, and then Lorenzo didn't like them, went to speak to Dick Advocaat, and then some longer ones got ordered. It doesn't seem like much of a story to me.
How dare you disrespect the dramatic reading?
Yeah,
how dare you?
That's one of the more in-depth ones we've had. And that was this week's dramatic reading. There's another person he falls out with in the book, Marco Negri. They fall out over a hunting trip, I think, of all things. But Tom, you said there was more to the story than we thought.
Yeah. So I did a bit of a deep dive into this and found out a little bit of information. An article written by Marco Negri, who wanted to give his side of the story.
And let's also, as context, Marco Negri did suffer with a lot of injuries at his time at Rangers. Mm. So
yeah,
Amoruso says himself, there's probably quite a lot going on there.
He got injured with a squash ball at one point. It was really
weird. Yeah, he got hit in the eye.
Got hit in the eye. Sounds awful. But apparently that changed his personality, like a super villain.
Yeah.
Squash man.
Well, I mean, from the quote I'm about to read from the article, you can see quite how it changes his personality. So he mentions he got a call. This is Marco, got a call from his girlfriend. And it says, she called me once, absolutely aghast, from the supermarket where she had gone shopping with Amo and his girlfriend at the time, Christina. Amoruso insisted on paying only for the items in the trolley he would use. Other goods, Christina's feminine products and low-fat yogurts and the likes, she had to pay for herself.
Oh my god.
That's not a side to Amoruso I like.
There's two sides to every story.
He won't even pay for yogurts. Oh, that is fascinating. Oh, wow.
I would love to read Marco Negri's book now.
It's all about yogurt.
Yeah. Yogurt and feminine products. Yeah.
My favourite line ever, I think, is now Christina's feminine products and low-fat yogurts and the likes.
And the such yogurt, things like that.
Transparent noodles and such. There's a couple of big chats in the book. Ammo, a racist, which you probably have to address. He talks about his name, Jonathan Ikpeba, I think his name
is.
Yeah,
right? I think that's his name.
Jonathan Ikpeba? Victor Ikpeba, sorry.
Victor Ikpeba.
His name is Victor Ikpeba. He plays for Dortmund, and Lorenzo says something not very nice about him, which is caught on cameras. He's very apologetic about it, but does spend a whole chapter kind of saying things are said on the pitch, etc., etc.
It's a weird chapter, this one, because it's sort of the title is "Ammo a racist? Never." So it seems like he's really like pushing the idea that he's definitely not a racist. He definitely hasn't done anything wrong. And then about, I would say, maybe half the chapter is him apologizing for what he said. And saying that what he said was racist, but then denying that he's a racist. And that's a differentiation that, you know, you have to sort of, is a slight difficult thing to get your head around, but I can kind of understand where he's coming from. I think it's just the fact that the title is so aggressive. The chapter title is so aggressive.
Yeah, I agree. That kind of
it really puts you on the back foot when reading it.
There is a line in it where he says, he talks, I'm talking about himself in the third person as always, Ammo isn't a racist because he lived with a black guy from Colombia for 3.5 months.
Yeah. That made me so sad, that bit.
There we go. That's settled, guys. I can't see it. Let's move on from that.
The idea, he was also like, I was so worried what Rod Wallace was going to say, but Rod Wallace was fine with it. So everyone else should be as well. You're like, ah, God.
Rod Wallace was torn out from terrorizing Fabio Cannavaro. he didn't have the energy to pick a fight.
I'm really not bothered at the moment, yeah.
And another title, which is kind of misleading, is Drugs, Birds and Me. There's some fascinating things in this segment, but drugs, he doesn't take any drugs. It's really misleading. He even says the line, why take heroin when you could book a weekend in New York? he really didn't need the drug section. It's just him basically saying, stickler of drugs. But there's some fascinating things in there.
Going to New York's quite stressful, I think. Doing heroin,
I'd rather take heroin. He's simple. Yeah.
You can take heroin in New York.
Yeah, it's true.
Exactly. Yeah. Double the New York.
Yeah,
why limit yourself?
Yeah.
The women stuff is really weird because he earlier on in the book he's like, okay, I know I wouldn't have got as many women as I could have if I wasn't a footballer. And then later on, he's like, actually, I am really good looking. What are you talking about?
He goes to really great lengths to explain that he'd get women if he wasn't a footballer.
He gets given a girl's number when he's just walking along a beach in the Caribbean. Yeah. And she's like, married.
We talked for 5 or 10 minutes, didn't say I was a footballer, still got a number.
Yeah.
It was just like... At that point, he's going out with Christina.
He is, yeah. He's pretty loose with his morals when it comes to that. He says a lot of things about being faithful. He says, you know, I've always been faithful, except sometimes at the beginning when you're not sure if things are going to work out, or near the end when things aren't happening. A lot of caveats there, like
tricky middle period.
Or if it's May, you're in a port town.
I've been faithful every time I sort of could be bothered, I think.
That's basically it.
Quite a hearty breakfast, you know.
Yeah.
But I think all in all, he just wants a woman to go shopping with, as he says, and to lie down with.
So he just wants a prefect woman. We know that.
he wants a woman to go shopping with, but not pay for a yogurt. Guys, you want to hear Ken's song this week?
Yeah. Yes, please.
So, Tom, just in case you're not familiar with Ken's song,
familiar with Ken Zong's oeuvre.
Okay.
Very good.
Great to hear. One of your favourite artists, I hear. Ken, every week he writes a new chant about a footballer. For example, we've had, I'm going to take Grant Holt down to Carrow Road, all these kind of things. This one, because we've been a Scottish player, he's stuck to a Scottish theme this week. To the tune of Avril Lavigne's Complicated. Great choice. Here we go. What you gonna do when you're up against Gary Naismith? see the way he's constantly shutting you down, making you frustrated. that's the end of the job.
That is it.
That's the first time I think Ken's done a chant that is just the first two lines of a chorus.
I know. So I'm now
waiting for the rest.
Yeah. Well, next week I'll make sure I come up with a full Gary Naismith complicated song.
Thank you.
Okay, end of the book ends with him at Rangers, winning stuff under Alex McLeish, still having a lot of injuries, but things start to go a bit better for him. I felt sorry for him. He had loads of injuries, to be honest.
He really
struggled with that. He went to Blackburn after the book was written, so we didn't get any of that.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about this book. He does talk, like, at the end of the book, he's like, oh my God, I want to stay here for like another 5 or 6 years. I want my testimonial. I want everything. Literally the season after, he goes to Blackburn.
Yeah.
It's so weird. I really want to know what happened.
And he barely played at Blackburn. He was injured again throughout most of that. He played about 18 times over 3 seasons, I saw, which is a shame.
Yeah.
He also claims that he very nearly signed for Lazio, but instead they opted to sign Yap Stam for £15 million. They could have had me for three, but that was their choice.
You could have had this injury-prone worst player for £15 million less. But I mean, Amoroso, I don't remember him as a player. I remember him playing for Blackburn a bit, but he seemed like he loves Rangers. He really does love Rangers. And I like that out of the book. That's one of the things that was quite structural. It really comes out that he loves them, and he has an epiphany towards the end of the book that it's not Advocat that he's necessarily angry with. It's the fact that he's so in love with Rangers that's made him go mad. And again, coming back, there's even a post-credit scene with Dick Advocat at the end where Advocat, the last thing he does, he rings him up and basically...
asks him to join the Avengers.
Yeah. Did this book change you, guys? Jack, just quickly on this.
No.
Okay.
Not really. I mean, I enjoyed it. I found it quite frustrating, but I learned a bit about Rangers, but not really.
Okay.
It changed me into someone who's now read Lorenzo Amoruso's autobiography.
Isn't that all we want?
You'll never be able to change back.
Yeah. Believe me, you're going to read many more things that you're going to wish you hadn't read. Good rating out of 10. Jack, what are you going to give it?
I'm going to give it a 6.
I'm going to give it, you know what? I'm going to go bold and give it an 8. I'll give it an 8.
Oh, okay.
Because it was entertaining. It was very entertaining. And
fair enough.
I think that it was everything I kind of wanted the book to be. Messy, messy, but fun. Anyway, sorry, Tom, what's your rating?
I'm going to go with Jack's rating of 6. There was some real sort of fun bits I liked. There was him meeting a ghost, which I thought was hilarious, and the addiction to Bailey's was very funny.
Yeah.
But there were some grimmer moments in here that that I really struggled with. So 6 is going to be my rating.
Hey, I'm not vouching for any of the bad bits of the book. Oh, yes, I am. No, I am.
you've got that tattoo, James.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
I'm vouching for all the bad bits of the book.
Yeah.
On your chest.
This week's quiz, you are named after cast members of LA Confidential. This could get difficult. We'll steer clear of one guy. Jack, you're Danny DeVito, and Tom, you're Kim Basinger. All good with that? Before you answer the question, you've got to shout your name. Question number one. What was Lorenzo's first team he played for, Cucine del Levante, named after?
Ooh. Oh, Danny DeVito?
Yep.
Is it a kitchen? A restaurant?
It is a kitchen. Close. Any idea, Kim?
Absolutely not.
It's a local kitchen manufacturer. I'll give it to Dane.
Oh, cool.
I think you get that.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Like when Jason McAteer grew up playing for Wicks United. Question two. Who is the best striker he ever played against?
Kim Basinger?
Basinger. that's never going to get old, is it?
No, it's great. It's always great.
Yep.
Was it Henrik Larsson?
It wasn't. Any idea, Danny? To Russia.
I remember thinking it was quite odd. Billy Dodds?
No, it's not Billy Dodds. He does like playing against, but he doesn't like playing Billy Dodds because they hit each other.
Ron Wallace.
Yeah.
It's not Ron Wallace. It's Ronaldo.
Oh,
of course.
Yeah, okay.
The original Ronaldo.
Fair enough. Yes.
What tradition is Lorenzo introduced to on his first deer hunt?
Kim Basinger.
I think Kim was in there just ahead.
Oh, okay.
Just ahead, I think. I could be wrong.
Was it wiping the blood of the dead animal onto his forehead?
Yeah, I'll give you that. He had a deer's liver dragged across his face.
Horrifying.
Close enough.
As you, As you do. Yeah, I'll give it liver or blood, similar. And finally, which of these people do we not see a picture of Lorenzo cosplaying as in the book? A, Zorro. B, Braveheart. C, Dick Advocaat in tiny shorts.
The Dynamito.
Danny's in there just ahead.
I wish it was A, but it's C.
It's C, it's correct. Danny, you've won this week's quiz. Commiserations, Kim Basinger, but you'll be back stronger. Thanks a lot for coming on the show. Thanks, Tom. You enjoy your first outing?
Absolutely enjoyed myself.
Absolutely enjoyed myself.
Can we do that again?
Yeah, you can come back and do that more. That was great fun. Anyone with any thoughts on the book? If you read it, you want to read along, message us reviews, follow us at Footy Book Club on Twitter, Football Book Club on Instagram, review the podcast, subscribe, follow us. Any last words, guys?
Short shorts.
Thank you very much. Short shorts and ghosts. Goodbye. Thanks for listening to the Football Book Club. It featured James Bug, Jack Bernhardt and Tom Coles. It was produced and created by James Bug. Thanks to Lorenzo Amoruso for writing the book, but what are they all up to now? Well, Lorenzo went on to play for Blackburn Rovers before retiring in 2006. He now spends his days roaming the Highlands, hunting deer dressed as Braveheart. Dick Advocaat managed teams all over the world, every time wearing increasingly shorter and shorter shorts, until finally his fine old side played in thongs. Fabio Cannavaro can't look at a picture of Rod Wallace without experiencing NAMM flashbacks. The film LA Confidential grossed $130 million worldwide and scooped 2 Academy Awards. The music Lobby Time is the property of Kevin MacLeod at filmmusic.io and is used under a Creative Commons 4.0 license. We'll be back next week with another episode from Quarantine. Maybe we'll be reading Marco Ittinegri's All About Yogurt. Who knows? Stay safe. Bye-bye.